Congregation of Jesus, we're going to turn to God's Word for a time of reflection and study. I invite you to pray with me just a moment. Lord God, your Spirit continues to use your Word to build your people up, to lead them into truth, lead them into life. So we trust that in many ways, in each of our hearts and in all of our hearts together, you're going to do that today. We pray it in Jesus' name. The reading that I have chosen for us for this morning is Psalm 2. Why do the nations conspire and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers gather together against Yahweh and against his anointed one. Let us break their chains, they say, and throw off their fetters. The one enthroned in heaven laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he rebukes them in his anger, terrifies them in his wrath, saying, I have installed my king on Zion, my holy hill. I will proclaim the decree of Yahweh. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have become your father. Ask of me, and I will give the nations as your inheritance, the ends of the earth as your possession. You will rule them with an iron scepter. You will dash them to pieces like pottery. Therefore, you kings, be wise. Be warned, you rulers of the earth. Serve Yahweh with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you be destroyed in your way. For his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. This is the word of the Lord. So, followers of Jesus, you know some pastors, well, most pastors in our tradition are well-educated, and many of them like big words. And I like big words, too. I've got a huge one for you today. I don't know if you can see that. We're going to have a word with the cameraman afterwards to see if that shows up. But the word is us. Us is a two-letter word, and I can't think of many words that are bigger than that word. It's a powerful word, us. Whenever you think of the word us, you start to think of your identity. Who's in my tribe? Who belongs to the group that I say is us? It allows me to think about the group of people that I associate with, I identify with. So much of who I am depends on how I answer the question, who are we? Not only do I get identity from us, I also get security from us. It's a terrible thing to be alone. But if you've got friends, if you've got a tribe, if you've got a gang, a posse, then you feel safe. And in fact, the more of us there are, the more secure we feel. And the more of us there are, the more powerful we feel. We start to form mobs and majorities. And the bigger the us, the more we think we can get done. Us, seems to me, is a deeply powerful word. And sometimes we push us. We push this notion of the group that we identify with. We push it so far toward the idea of unity. What if we get everyone to be part of us? Wow! Then nothing would be outside of our achievement. We would have more power, more influence, more security. Unity would make us almost invincible. Unity makes us stronger yet. Now, as I'm saying this, I'm remembering the story of the Tower of Babel. There's a group of people who really had great plans, and they were unified in their purpose, they were unified in their project, and they were going to build a tower that reached to heaven. Now, there was only one problem with their project, and that's that unity only goes so far. The universe is ultimately not a democracy. We don't get to run things. As long as God says, I'm not so sure about this. One person, one being, can overthrow the plans of all of us. God can undo just by his one voice, his one vote. He can undo all of our influence, all of our plans, all of our sense of might because of how many we are. Now, in this psalm, the first thing we see is a show of human unity. We see the kings and the rulers gathered together against the Lord. They are going to overthrow the oppression of the Lord. And the Lord's response to this is to laugh, because he knows how the universe works. He defines reality. And he says this: Behold, I have established my king on Zion, on my holy hill. So, all of a sudden, this sense of the unity that gives us strength, that gives us influence, that gives us security, is challenged by the Lord. And the way it shows up is that the Lord reminds all of these people gathered together, he reminds them of his anointed one. And this is important. It's really important for us to hone in on this for just a second, because all of us can use God language to bolster our cause. We can argue ourselves into feeling that, of course, God is on our side. Why wouldn't he be? We're right. We're the best. We're good people. We've argued ourselves into the point of saying, not only are we together, but God is with us. And throughout history, you just see this constantly. People use religious language, God language, to support their agenda. The only thing that undoes humanity's use of religious language to support and disguise its own human agenda is the Lord's anointed. The fact that he reaches down into particular human beings and says, yeah, you guys are all together, but I want you to know I've chosen this one. The one that God has chosen breaks the us. And this is what the psalmist means when he says, I'm going to, So the psalmist talks about a conversation that he had with the Lord. The Lord said to him, "You are my son, today I've become your father. Ask of me, and I will give these nations as your inheritance, these peoples as your possession. You will rule them with an iron rod, and you will break them in pieces like pottery." Now that sounds kind of mean. Sounds downright mean. But here's what the Lord is saying. And here's what the Anointed One is saying about that conversation. He's saying, the Lord is going to use me to destroy every sense of us that we have. All of the ways in which we say, I'm an important person because I belong to this group. I'm a powerful person because of my association with this class. I'm a well-resourced or cared-for person because of who my family, my clan, my party is. Jesus says, the psalmist says that the Anointed One is going to break down all of our us's. He's going to say, I don't care if you're a man and you think that that somehow makes you special. I don't care if you're white. I don't care if you're black. I don't care if you're a woman. I don't care if you're powerful. I don't care if you're rich. All of the ways that you associate, I don't care what degree you have, what professional organization you have, what neighborhood you live in, all of the ways that you think about me being part of an us, I'm going to break it in pieces. And this is an ongoing part of the work of the Messiah. To say to all of the ways that we imagine our own security, our own identity, our own importance, our own plans. He says to us, they mean nothing to me because I rule by the power of the Lord. And there's nothing you can do about that. You cannot undo my rule. It doesn't matter how many of people you get to vote with you, how many soldiers you get to march with you. The Lord says, I have placed my anointed on the throne. And I've given him a scepter to demolish all of our contrived senses of how important, well-connected, and influential we are. This is not a fun psalm, but it's such an important psalm. And I want to bring four things forward briefly. First of all, we need to acknowledge our rebellion. Whenever we do not submit to the Lord's right to choose his appointed ruler, Jesus, we are in rebellion. And coming to that point is hard. It is really hard to give up all of our sense of who we are, what makes us special, what gives us security and power. But it is also an enormous relief. It is so good to just let that, all of that tension out and say, Jesus Christ is the Lord. And I've been in rebellion against him. I need to stop trying to get God out of my life, and I need to come over and kiss the Son. That is, show submission to him. Second, I need to keep on letting God smash my identity to bits. All of the human ways that I contrive to tell him why I'm something. All of the ways that I try to get people on my side. All of the ways that I identify with the right cause, the right people. Each day, with Paul, I have to die to all of that. Third, I need to recognize the Son. And Jesus himself says very clearly, every time you see a marginalized person, you're looking at me. So he smashed all of our senses of power, and then he says, now look around, see all of these people who have no power, who have no influence, who have no posse, who have no rights. Whenever you see me in them, you are part of my kingdom. Now, I know that we tend to do that in the church. We tend to embrace each other as brothers and sisters. But I want to tell you, the only difference between those of us who are inside the embrace of Christ and those who are outside, potentially, is time. God's waiting for them. And until Jesus returns, he's waiting for the feast to be full. So we can also look at other people and embrace them as Christ and say, I may have more money than you, I may have more friends than you, I may have a bigger house, may have more degrees, but ultimately I look at you and I see someone who's exactly the same as me, someone who's made in the image of Christ. The last thing, when we do that, we need to be very clear that we are going to draw fire, because the world has not decided to put down its rebellion against the Lord and against his anointed. The world is still saying the way to be safe, the way to be secure, is to get as many and as powerful of friends around you as you can. Identify with the right people, the right cause, the right ideas, the right neighborhood, the right citizenship, and you will be fine. When we start to say, you know what, because Jesus is Lord, none of that matters, we pay attention to the one who breaks all of that down. And because of that one, we say, those people too are important. That's going to make the world mad. And we need to be ready for that. In a moment, we're going to sing a song together, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and there is a deep sense of the unity of faith under Christ, but also the warfare that draws us into. Will you pray with me before we sing? Thank you, Lord God, for your word. Thank you for by your Spirit breaking down our foolish resistance. We ask that we may submit to you, that we may represent the true King in all of his glory. We pray it in his name. Amen. Let's sing together, A Mighty Fortress.